அருட்பெரும் ஜோதி, அருட்பெரும் ஜோதி, தனிப்பெரும் கருணை, அருட்பெரும் ஜோதி. திருச்சிற்றம்பலம். எல்லாம் செயல்கூடும் என்னானை அம்பலத்தே, எல்லாம் வல்லான் தனையே ஏத்து. திருவிளங்க சிவயோக சித்தி எல்லாம் விளங்க, சிவஞான நிலை விளங்க, சிவானுபவம் விளங்க. திருத்தில்லை திருச்சிற்றம்பலத்தை திருக்கூத்து விளங்க. திருவிளங்கு திருத்தில்லை திருச்சிற்றம்பலத்தை திருக்கூத்து விளங்க. ஒளி சுழந்த திருவிளக்கே, உருவிளங்க, உயிர் விளங்க, உணர்ச்சி அது விளங்க, உலகமெல்லாம் விளங்க, அருள் உதவு பெருந்தாயாம். மறுவிளங்கு குடல் வள்ளி மகிழ்ந்தொருபால் விளங்க, வயங்குமணி பொது விளங்க, வளர்ந்த சிவக்கொழுந்தே. அன்பெனும் பிடியுள் அகப்படும் மலையே, அன்பெனும் குடில் புகும் அரசே, அன்பெனும் வளைக்குட்படுபரும் பொருளே, அன்பெனும் கரத்தமரமுதே, அன்பெனும் கடத்துள் அடங்கிடும் கடலே, அன்பெனும் உயிர் ஒளிர் அறிவே, அன்பெனும் அணுவுள் அமைந்த பேரொளியே, அன்புருவாம் பரசிவமே. அருட்பெரும் ஜோதி, அருட்பெரும் ஜோதி, தனிப்பெரும் கருணை, அருட்பெரும் ஜோதி. லெட் ஆல் லிவிங் பீயிங்ஸ் லிவ் பிளிஸ்ஃபுல்லி. அருட்பெரும் ஜோதி, அபயம், அபயம். அக்டோபர் 7, 2018, on the occasion of the 176th incarnation day of Perumal, Thiru Arut Prakasa Valalar Ramalingam, Valalar Universal Mission USA, welcomes all our sisters and brothers to this special Sunday event. Today is a great day in our history of Sunday programs. We have our sister and brothers as special guests across the continents participating in today's event. They are noble souls who understand our Vallal Peruman and work towards spreading the message of compassion across the continents by their devotion and deeds. We welcome Maria Sanchez from Mexico, Donnie Paul from Australia, and Rajesh Kodandaraman from USA. Welcome, my dear friends.
Thank you. Thank you for the invitation.
Thank you. So I'm going to read a disclaimer before we start this program. Disclaimer: Valalar Universal Mission is headed by Thiru Arut Prakasa Valalar, and the organization is open to one and all. There is no discrimination due to caste, religion, philosophy, race, color, language, age, sex, or any other differences. This organization will follow the principles of Valalar and considers them as fundamental and as the greatest of all. Thus, it can be considered as Samarasa Suddha Sanmarga Satya Sangam. We request all our guest speakers to stick to the principles of Valalar in their speeches. One must be aware that the opinion of the speaker is not necessarily the opinion of Valalar Universal Mission. All the speakers are free to deliver their messages and opinions. Also, the listeners and the participants are free to support or not the speaker's opinion. However, everyone must refrain themselves from hurtful words and show love and respect to each other during their discussions. This message is read on behalf of Valalar Universal Mission, USA. Thank you. So I want to introduce our sister, Sister Maria Sanchez from Mexico. Sister Maria lives in San Cristobal de las Casas, Chiapas, Mexico. It is a beautiful town on the mountains. She is a yoga teacher and travels to give yoga trainings and spread the messages of Valalar. She has traveled to India, Vadalur. She is known by many of our fellow Sanmargis in India, including Salem Mr. Kuppusami Ayya, Sadhu Mr. Janakiraman Ayya, and others. She has a divine voice and can bring heaven to earth with her divine voice. We are going to hear that now. With that note, we welcome our beloved sister, Maria Sanchez from Mexico, to sing Arutpas and share her experience as a Valalar devotee. Bienvenido, Maria Sanchez.
Thank you, Prasanna. Thank you very much for letting me join you in your community and for being able to share my love and transformation with Valalar.
Thank you. So, Sister Maria, you know, we want you to sing Arutpas, and then we can go for your session to share the experiences.
Okay, great.
Arutpernjodi, Arutpernjodi, Tani perm karunehi arut perm jodi arut perm jodi arut perm jodi tani perm karunehi arut perm jodi arut perm jodi arut perm jodi Tani perum karunei arut perun jodi. Arut perun jodi.
We are experiencing technical difficulties. You may not hear everyone on the call. You will be prompted when the conference is reconnected.
Tani perum karunei arut perun jodi. Nineinde, nineinde. Unarende, unarende. Negurando, negurando. Anbe, nireinde, nireinde. Anbe, nireinde, nireinde. Vutrerum canni radena lurambe naninde naninde Vutrerum canni radena lurambe naninde naninde Arul hamude nanivie Jnana narasarase Yennurime nayakane Yendre vaninde vaninde Yendre vaninde vaninde Yetudumna Vaminu lagiale Maranamila peruvarvil Vandiralam kandi Puneinduraye Poi pugale Satyam solgindren Porchavayil Sirchavayil Pugundarunamirve Pugundarunamirve Arut perun jodi, arut perun jodi, tani perun karunei, arut perun jodi, arut perun jodi, arut perun jodi, tani perun karunei, arut perun jodi. Arut perun jodi, arut perun jodi, tani perun karunei, arut perun jodi. Apanan vendal ketu, arul puridal vendum. Aruyer gatkelana ambushe alwendo ye parum ye padamo yengano nan sendre yende ininad arut pugare yembir alwendo Sepadame nilai mel sattasiva margam. Tigandungar jodi selutir alvendo tapedinan zino liburdalvendo tapedinan zino ni purutarvendo taleiva ninei piriade nilamayum vendu vane taleiva ninei piriade nilamayum vendu vane arut perun jodi, tani perun karunei, arut perun jodi. Nalla marindu marindu, sugam nalgum vaithiyanara marindu. Nalla marindim marindo, sugam nalgum vaithiyanara marindu. Arul vadivana marindu, arul vadivana marindu, namul arpulaga marindu marindu. Irulara ungum arindu, irulara ungum arindu, ambarka imburuvaga irundu marindu. Nalla marindim marindu, sugam nalgum vaithiyanara marindu. Nalla marindim marindu, sugam nalgum vaithiyanara marindu. Sanjalam thirkum marindu, Sanjalam tirkum marindu, engum thane thanai tharikkum marindu, engum thane thanai tharikkum marindu, anjal indralum marindu,
we are experiencing technical difficulties. You may not hear everyone on the call. You will be prompted when the conference is reconnected. This conference has been reconnected.
Sugam nalgum vaithiyanara marindu. Nalla marindim marindu, sugam nalgum vaithiyanara marindu. Veethagamana marindu, veethagamana marindu. Chadur Veda Mudivil Vilangum Marindu. Tatuva Dida Marindu. Tatuva Diva Marindu. Ennei Thanaki Kunde Ayala Marindu. Yenai thanaki kunde ayala marindu. Nala marindu marindu, sugam nalgum vaithiyanara marindu. Nalla marande marando sogam nalgum vaithiyanara marando. Can you hear me?
That was beautiful, Maria.
Yes, Maria. It was wonderful. It was beautiful. We can hear you.
Oh, thank you.
We apologize for the technical difficulty. I think since various countries are involved, whenever people come in and go out, it's causing some issues.
Don't worry. I think it's fine.
So Maria, thank you so much. So do you want to sing any more Arudhvas or do you want to go to the other session?
Sure, whatever you feel.
Yeah.
If you want, I can sing.
Yeah, if you can sing more, you will be very delighted.
Okay. I don't know. I know more than 40.
Ah.
I don't know which one. Maybe I can sing a Karuvil Kalanda.
Wow, that's awesome. Please.
Okay. Karuvil Kalanda Thunayi. Karuvil Kalanda Thunayi. Yen kani vil kalanda modi. Yen kanil kalanda oliye. Yen karutil kalanda kalipi. Yennuru il kalanda haragi. Yennuir il kalanda uravi. Yennunar vil kalanda sugavi. Yennuraya. Orume perumani yennuraya Vilayadu Siriyentanake Mehinyana Teruvil Kalanda Vilayadu Siriyentanake Mehinyana Siti Alita Perunkaruni Jnana Siti Alita Perunkaruni Deve Yulaga Viraliella Maru vil kalanda varvadakku Vaita taruna medu yenre Maru vil kalanda varvadakku Vaita taruna mido yenre Vaye para ya yarigindre Vaye para ya yarigindre Yendai karune valatale Paru vil kalanda tu
Thank you, Prasanna. Thank you for the invitation and thank you for allowing me to sing on Swami's birthday. It's really a gift for me.
Yeah, so we are gifted as well. So Maria, I think wonderful songs, you know, with a beautiful voice. Now we can move on to the next session. So we know you have been spreading the message of Vallalar in Mexico and other areas. So we would like to hear from you how you came to Perumahan, you know, how you came to know about him and what. And, you know, and what is that you have gone through? What is the kind of transformation that you have gone through? If you could share to us, it will be a very boosting for us.
Sure. I was in India in Tiruvannamalai, and I already knew about Vallalar, but I wasn't really sure in which part of India he was because I had the wrong name. I was looking for Ramalinga, and no one knew who Ramalinga was. And then a friend in Tiru, he introduced me to the Swamis of Vallalar Trust. And I went to meet them, but in 1 week afterwards, I was supposed to go back to Mexico. So I just met them quickly, and I was really excited. And then that night, I had a dream with Vallalar, like a very, very intense dream. Like I could see him in my dreams with this very, very strong light. And so I woke up the next morning and I thought I have to stay in India. I can't go back to Mexico. But my boyfriend was waiting for me. He's now my husband. And so I was very worried how I would explain to him that I wanted to stay. And so it took me like 2 months of really to make the decision. And then I stayed for almost a year with the Swamis of Vallalar. And it was really a gift because my husband understood this decision and he respected this decision. And in the same way, I really had so much love and support from Janaki Ram Swami and from Nagara Swami, Saravan Swami. And they were really, and that time Babu Sadhu, he said, okay, Maria wants to sing. We want to sing with her. So every morning, we were studying Arutpas and singing. And then I was traveling with them to Malaysia, to Singapore. And it was really a beautiful experience to totally live the Swami style life. And in Malaysia, I received so much love, especially from Rajan's family, Ambar's family. It was really, really beautiful to be with them. Almost 3 months studying and also studying with Kupu Swami. And so I really feel blessed. It was like a very, very beautiful experience to receive this. And just to be able to be there singing, because I don't speak Tamil, and I was all the time with Tamil people, and I couldn't really communicate in Tamil, but through the singing and through the Arutpas, I felt that there was no need to communicate. It was really deep and profound experience.
Great. Okay. So, Maria, thanks. That was wonderful. And what was the kind of transformation you have gone through after knowing Perumahan, Vallal Perumahan? Mm-hmm. What happened in your life? And, you know, can you tell us?
Mm-hmm. Well, it was a very strong experience, like a very bhakti experience, because at that time I was studying a lot Vedanta, Ramana Maharshi, and just going in deep into the self-study, self-realization studies. And then with Vallalar, it was really like a melting experience, because at some point I felt my search was becoming a little bit hard on me, like a very mental search.
And then when I found Valalar, it was just, my mind was blown away. It was nothing to do with my mind. At some point, my family, for example, were worried. They were thinking maybe I was going crazy or I was kidnapped in India, because I was really deeply, deeply in love and deeply, deeply not thinking, just loving. And this was beautiful, beautiful experience. And then coming back to my country, it was not easy at the beginning. I started like giving Bhakti groups intensive to share Swami's message. And it's a very high teaching. So some people understand, some people don't understand. But what everyone happens is that they really all resonate with this message of singing and the message of Swami of Jiva Karunya. So my kids, my husband also have been happy to share with me this experience. Now I work a lot with prenatal women that are pregnant, and giving trainings of how to teach pregnant women to be teachers of prenatal. And always I can feel like the blessing of Bhakti through Swami, and it's been really like a very, very beautiful experience to live with in my country. At some point I feel I am like I belong to Tamil Nadu. This is my feeling. A lot I have this feeling of this urge to go back to India, this urge to be there, to just be in Badalur, to be with the Tamil community, to be in the ashram. And it's a little strong to just be here in Mexico in my life. But at the same time, I have a trust that when my kids grow up a little bit and I will have more time, I will be back and I will feel again home.
Great, great. Okay.
This conference has been reconnected.
So Maria, and again, I know you are teaching yoga to your students, and how are you taking the message of Valalar to them? You know, what impressed them more in Valalar? Or you know, you mentioned that some people are able to understand, some people are not able to understand, right? So what kind of messages do you give them, or when you introduce them to Valalar, what do you tell them, and what they take in from that?
Well, I tell them what we work more is with Arut Perunjodi mantra.
Okay.
Sometimes this mantra is just enough to really make them feel the presence of Arut Perunjodi through Swami. And then also I try to teach them like the deep, deep, deep understanding of the Nada Yoga, of just singing, singing, singing Arutpa, singing, singing the mantra, and how this can really quiet the mind and be more available to indigate in the being, to meditate, to be a better human being. And with vegetarianism also, it's a good change. Mexico, every time more people are becoming vegetarian. So this message also is a good change for them. And trying to really learn how to sing properly, to sing not only with the throat, or the emotions, but trying to find to be able to sing from within, from really inside, from within. And I've seen very nice transformations of students that really find their own voice and really be able to sing deeper to Arutpas. At some point I shared with Swami Janakiram some students of mine singing Arutpas, and it's really amazing how they can meditate and sing just by copying and learning, something already starts happening.
Great, okay. And you mentioned that many people in Mexico are becoming vegetarians. I know being in America itself, it is very hard to be a vegetarian, because wherever you go, the food is a non-vegetarian food. You know, there is meat everywhere. Although, you know, I'm practicing veganism, or I'm a vegan too, but not many people actually get even a chance to be a vegetarian, because what you get is, you know, all the time non-vegetarian food. And coming from a culture of eating non-vegetarian food, how is it for the people in Mexico? You know, how are they taking it up? And how is it for you? How long have you been a vegetarian? Can you thoughts?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and the good thing is that since I live in a yogi community, well, not like my San Cristobal de las Casas is friendly in this matter. Of course, there are non-vegetarian restaurants, but there are a lot of vegetarian restaurants and a lot of vegetarian friends. So it's not something really to struggle with. At the beginning, when I came back, I was really hard on that subject. Like, I would be very strong and firm with that subject. And now that time passed, I am not anymore this teacher that really reprehends people that are not vegetarian. I learned to respect that some people maybe are not ready, and this is not like a reason to not practice. But with time, I feel slowly the change comes. And for example, my family, my sisters, I have three sisters, and three of us are vegetarian. One is not vegetarian. So I feel the change slowly is happening. And when I become more aggressive is when people really don't, like, just stop coming to class. And so but for example, all the yoga teachers in my shala, they're all vegetarian. So we are just keeping open, but at the same time, we have clear the message.
Great. So, do you have a yoga sala, and can you tell us about, what kind of teachings you do there?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I have a yoga studio since 10 years ago, because before I went to India, I already had this yoga studio. And this yoga studio, we have different kind of yoga. We have Vinyasa yoga, we have Bhakti yoga, which is more the Ramalinga, the Valalar message. We have yoga for kids, yoga for pregnancy, and we have teacher trainings also to become a yoga teacher. And a lot of the people that come to the yoga studio are not Mexican. They're foreigners, because San Cristobal is a very touristic town. So some classes are in English, some classes are in Spanish. And it's a simple shala. It's not a big fancy. It's a very simple shala, but it's very alive, and we do kirtans, we do bhajans, and we try to keep it always with movement and with inviting teachers to come and share message.
Great. Okay. So I know we have very very few very very late now. I just want to ask a couple of questions, and maybe if you can sing Arutpa, that will be really great. So
we are experiencing technical difficulties. You may not hear everyone on the call. You will be prompted when the conference is reconnected.
So one of the things what I want to check up with you is, like, after you came to know about Valalar and, you know, started to spread the messages, have you had any experience converting any of the non-vegetarian into vegetarian people?
I did in the teacher trainings, because when I first came back from India, I came back with all the teachings of taking care, like the cleansing of the stomach and the cleansing and doing all these kriyas. And the people that took the training with me, it was really, you had to be vegetarian to do the whole training. And they all transformed vegetarian, and then maybe half of them stayed vegetarian. The others just didn't stay vegetarians. But in San Cristobal, I've seen a lot of people transform to vegetarianism. It's not strange. So I'm not sure if it was because of Swami's message. I feel it's more like the yogic lifestyle becoming normal. But it is something that is important and that is very treasured in our community.
Great. So what is your message for all of us in various parts of the world?
Mm-hmm. Can you repeat the question?
Yeah. So what is your message for us, who is listening to you right now, for today, you know, celebrations, you know, do you want to give some message to the people?
My message is to sing Arutpa, to sing Arutpa Ranjodi. My feeling is sometimes Swami's teachings are very high, and trying to understand them.
This conference has been reconnected.
Trying to understand them with the mind. Sometimes it's like we feel we can never reach him. This was my feeling at the beginning. Like, wow, Swami was so amazing. I will never reach him. And then just singing Arutpas, I feel I'm with him. I feel there is no difference. I feel we are together. I feel Arutpa Ranjodi is everywhere. And so my message for today is to invite the community to just sing and sing and sing Arutpas. Find one that is really the one that melts your heart, and keep practicing, keep singing, keep feeling the vibration. Tamil language is very high in vibration, and this combined with the beautiful, beautiful words that Swami sings to God, to Arutpa Ranjodi, it's really like the highest medicine. And this is my message.
That is a wonderful message, Maria, because, you know, many of us have been struggling, you know, even we are familiar with Tamil and, you know about Valladar and so on. We have been trying how to, you know, get closer to Valladar and closer to Arutpa Ranjodi. And I think your message is apt for that. You know, at least by singing the Arutpas and, you know, chanting them, we will become closer to Valladar. That's a wonderful message.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. I am very, very
honored.
We are
experiencing technical difficulties. You may not hear everyone on the call. You will be prompted when the conference is reconnected.
Sorry, I think we have some technical difficulties today, but nevertheless, in Facebook, it is going live right now, and many of our fellow Sanmargis are hearing you. And, you know, with that, you know, we also thank you very much for taking time today to join this. Thank you so much for your service to the community. And we want to sing, you know, one or two Arutpas. I know you want to sing. So if you can sing as many Arutpas you could, then we can do a session.
Okay. Okay. Any Arutpa you love, Prasanna, that you really love?
I love all the Arutpas, so whichever you like the most, maybe you can. The top.
Okay. Okay. Arutpa Ranjodi, Arutpa Ranjodi, Tani Perum Karunei, Arutpa Ranjodi. Arutpa Ranjodi, Arutpa Ranjodi, Tani Perum Karunei, Arutpa Ranjodi. Arutpa Ranjodi, Arutpa Ranjodi, Tani Perum Karunei, Arutpa Ranjodi. Arutpa Ranjodi, Arutpa Ranjodi, Tani Perum Karunei, Arutpa Ranjodi. Arutpa Ranjodi, Arutpa Ranjodi, Tani Perum Karunei, Arutpa Ranjodi. Ennu yerako uirumni. Ennu yerani, ennu yerako uirumni. Yenninu yerak tunai vanni, yenai ra Sahanini Yannino Yerka Tunevani Yenayim Rahanini Yenudaya Naram porulni Yenudaya panni Naram porulni Yenidaya tambani Yen nanire Yen nidayat ambani Yen nanire Yen akuriya uravani Naravoroni Yenakuriya Uravoni Naravoroni Yene Kalanda Naravoni Yendanudaya Varvu Yenei Kalanda Natvoni Yendanudaya Varvu Yenei Kaku Dale Ivani Kanmon Rom Dare Dadevi Yenei Kakun Dale Ivani Kanmon Rom Dare Dadevi Arut perum jodi, tani perum karune, arut perum jodi. Ammenum pidi ullaga parum malaye, ammenum pidi ullaga parum malaye. Ambenum kudil pugum arati Ambenum kudil pugum arati Ambenum valek urpadu paramporule Ambenum karatamaramude Ambenum karatamaramude Ambenum karatu adengidu karale Ambenum karatu adengidu karale Ambenu muiruli arive Ambenu muiruli arive Ambenu manubul ameinda perulie Ambenu manubul ameinda perulie Amburubampara Sivame Amburubampara Sivame ஜீவாமி அம்புருவாம் பாரா ஜீவாமி. Okay, I sing one last Tarutpa. Thank you very much for the invitation, for letting me share with you. And I would be happy to share many times.
Thank you. Thank you, Maria. Gopi, I want to invite Gopi to give a thank you note. Gopi?
Okay.
Yes, Maria. Very impressive. I'm truly astonished by the fact that you have accumulated such a good knowledge on Valala's teachings, especially when most of the Valala's works are not translated in English. That shows your aspiration and how blessed you are. And definitely Valala has shown you the right path in your journey.
Thank you very much, Gopi. It's really, really a gift to feel. I'm very almost 100% sure my past life I was in Tamil Nadu. Something I just know. Because I really, many things I cannot memorize, especially in yoga, like the yoga poses, I never memorize. But the arutpas, it can pass 1, 2, 3 years, 4 years, 6 years, I just don't forget. It's really, really inside.
Wow, I mean, then the way you sing, I mean, it's really making the mind go, subtle, and then we truly enjoy the way, you are singing the songs. Especially the way you recited the Maha Mantra, it was very good, actually.
Thank you, Gopin. And
you also told about, keep singing Arutpa songs until you find the one that you melts your heart, and keep practicing the experience, which I would think is a very strong and deep technique. And thank you very much for that.
Thank you.
We also pray for you, your family, your relatives, friends, acquaintances. May Arut Perinjodhi Andavar and our Guru Valala bestow thy grace.
This conference has been reconnected.
You and put you in the state of Suddha San Marka Sangam, enlighten you with true knowledge and make you attain the true life and deathless body. Glory to Arut Perinjodhi Almighty, glory to Guru Valala. May all beings receive the grace, light, and live blissfully. Arut Perinjodhi, Arut Perinjodhi, Tani Perum Karane, Arut Perinjodhi.
Thank you very much, Gopi. And please, please keep in touch with me. I would be more than pleased. I'm almost ready to go back to India. My little boy is only 4 years old, and when I go, I want to stay there long. So I'm really trying to make. I have to go back. I want to keep studying. I want to keep learning, so I can spread the message with more love, more devotion.
Thank you.
We will keep in touch. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Maria. Thanks for your time. We will connect again, and we are here in almost in the same time zone. Please free to. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful and blessed day. Thank you.
Thank you, and nice to meet you, Donnie, also. And thank you, and welcome everyone to, and happy birthday to Swami.
Thank you.
Ciao.
Thank you very much.
So, Donnie, you're there in the call, right? Donnie?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So friends, we have Donnie Paul from Australia, who has joined us this night. So for, this is truly amazing, because for Donnie, I think it is 12:30 a.m. on Monday morning. And, we are so thankful for him to stay such longer after, such a great thing from his side that, he's going to talk in such a long time, okay? So thank you, Donnie. We welcome to the Sunday event. Just to give a quick introduction about Donnie. Donnie is from Queensland in Australia. He is married with actually 7 kids, and his last baby he has named as Jyoti. He was working as a jeweler before, but he's currently doing his paintings. He spends his time in devotion and is an ardent follower of Valal Perumal. He is a vegan and, you know, he is looking forward to reach to all of us and, you know, he's so excited.
His conference has been reconnected.
He was talking to us and, you know, he...
We are experiencing technical difficulties. You may not hear everyone on the call. You will be prompted when the conference is reconnected.
Sorry about the messages. But indeed, we have a very noble soul with us today who looks forward for a deathless life. And, you know, he's in search for the truth, which is great. So we welcome Donnie Paul from Australia to participate in this event and also, you know, give a talk on Seek the Jyoti Within Ourselves. So this is going
to be... This conference has been reconnected.
Thank you. Donnie, welcome and please go ahead.
Thank you, Prasanna. I really appreciate you asking me to come along to this conference. It's been a really good experience for me to be with association and the people of Valala. I like to express my feelings about the Jyoti the best I can through my own experiences and through what I've learned. My first experience with the Jyoti was about 1992, and I had no idea what it was. I was just it's just something that I had put myself into this position because I at that time I was just starting to be a vegetarian then, and I had let myself go. I let go of everything that I had feelings with and put my whole experience and existence in God's hands. And at that time, I literally experienced the Jyoti and I wasn't even aware of what it was. It wasn't until I went to Bataloor and witnessed it again and then understood exactly what it was. I knew the Jyoti was a part of God or God itself, but I still didn't fully understand until I went to Bataloor. How I understand the Jyoti, it has a different concept with the form and the formless God. I conceive it myself as a formless, totally formless God. The actual recognition of the Jyoti to me is God itself. It's not something like God's light or something else. It is just God. In the formless factor, this
hola, hola.
Is how hola. I conceive it. With my understandings of my readings of the Satyayuga, and the Golden Age was totally under the influence of the Jyoti at that period. And it was not until the manifestation of observation that brought the shift in our axis to bring us into the copper era and into the iron era, and where manifestation was changing our density of the universe that prevented us from being open to the Jyoti and being open to understanding it. And this is where we've come to in this time. The whole progress that we've all made is really like going backwards considering what we've come from. So I think to let people understand that anyone virtually can be a witness of the Jyoti. It's not a difficult thing. One can take on the moment of what it is, the moment of the person on how they feel. And at that period of time, it's just a matter of letting go and be in the compassionate mode, to let go. The responsibility of their own existence, the fear of their own existence, just has to be let go. Surely it can't be, may not be able to be continuous, but for that moment, when that happens, in a meditational mode, it can be experienced quite easily. It's not a hard thing to do. And I think everyone should have take the opportunity to witness the jhati, because there's nothing closer in our senses that we've got. You know, our senses take up much of our time and our thoughts and our mind and our desire for these senses. Once we let go of these desire for these senses, then we get a chance to witness our Atman connected to the ether, to the jhati. We actually get the chance to do this. I think the more we determine our own physical adjustments towards removing the four factors of fear, sex, food, and sleep, when we remove these obstacles, then it comes more easy to be connected to the jhati and on the path. As we're doing this, consisting physically doing this to change and adapt ourselves, then the path seems to open up. It gives us answers when we don't even have to ask the question. So I feel that one wants to make this transition, they have to seriously challenge themselves to move forward into this direction. Myself, personally, I've experienced, as far as I'm concerned, I've experienced to be a raw vegan with one meal a day and to a small meal a day and still be healthy and active to the needs of it. And I could feel quite that process going towards just the herbal consumption wasn't very difficult. But I must admit that even though the challenge seemed to be so easy, I still got affected by my own karma. And I think this is an experience that I'm lucky to have, because at least I know I can just go back into that realm again without too much difficulty. But with this sex, I mean, this is not a difficult thing to be challenged with. And with sleep and food, they seem to be connected together. So when we get these things identified, then we can move on quite quickly. The process of what we tend to do, especially with the media and the way the major people are communicating with, they are manifesting continuously all the time. Subconsciously, they're doing it. Even in quantum physics, they've identified the factual reality of that we do change molecular structures or particles just by observation. And this is something that we must understand, that we're actually doing. We're actually creating difficulties for ourselves. And it's only purely from the habits that we are used to and what we're born into, and that we have to challenge these habits and understand that God is a non-manifesting God. If it wasn't a non-manifesting God, if when one actually gets to witness the jhati itself, when one starts to observe the jhati or look at the jhati or understand, the actual jhati disappears in front of us. Like once it's recognized and we try to observe it, it disappears. So we cannot manifest upon the jhati. So the jhati is a non-manifesting reality. And this, what we are in here, in this maya, or this illusion, is just the tunnel that we look at the jyoti within. You know, this is just the whole illusion. And to actually understand that we are just a part of this maya, and that we are here temporarily, then what it is, the jyoti is our reality, and that we need to conceive this, because when we conceive this reality, then we have more understanding of removing our manifesting ways. I can't sort of think of anything else that I can actually promote upon on that at the moment. If there's anything you may want to ask me about it, this is generally all I can say at the moment. I wasn't well prepared enough, I don't think, but I try to keep everything as simple as possible. And I think that's a part of the problem, that people make things so confusing. To make it more simple is to understand that what the path in front of us that we've got isn't that hard. You know, it's just a matter of making those steps. And a lot of identification that I try to promote with this development and on this path of towards the jyoti, that we are living in this maya, but the power of this maya that we are in is organized by a structure in the system that are meat-eating people. And I know that they are no different than anyone else, but the trouble is they are limited by their own spiritual awareness. If they were more advanced, and naturally they would move on away from the animal consumption. And I also feel that if even with the vegetarian processes, if one wants to, because in this modern era, if one wants to move forward, there is still the advantages that we need to approach this. Because the meat-eating power of this planet is running towards 10 billion people in 2035, and there's going to be a lot of control factors coming along with this, and it's like 16 years away. And this is something that we have to understand with the Thai Pusans that we're having regularly. And I've actually been told that in 2020, the Thai Pusan that is coming up, the similarities of what Ramalinga went through in 1874 is nearly exactly the same one that is happening in 2020. And I think that the Vala devotees should take advantage of this and try to step forward in themselves and connect more and move forward out and understanding out of the systematic roles that we all tend to be in, and help one another to grasp the transition as quick as we can, because it is that time. We are at the, for me personally, we are at the end of the Kali Yuga period, and because we're at the end of the Kali Yuga period, all these events are going to get upon us if we don't take on these instructions that Valala has left us. And this is the main processes that we should. As a jeweler, I did a watchmaking apprenticeship. In the watchmaking apprenticeship, I studied time for over 40 years. I studied time for over 40 years, and to understand time is to recognize that the movement of the atoms, the movement of the molecular structures, this is just time itself. In the jyoti, time does not exist. and it's not something that we have to be tormented by, because we can have this freedom within ourselves if we understand that reality as well. The processes of this whole universe, the whole cosmos, is a manifestation. Not a, for me personally, it's not a work of God. It's a work of the processes that are built up through vanity or ego from the origination of humankind or the being itself. And this is this manifestation. It's much similar to what the Vedic structure puts out, you know, with Brahma and so forth. But the connection that Brahma was instructed by Vishnu, I don't grasp that. I don't grasp it. This is why I do not have this recognition of God in a form. And I know that there's many people that do the same. Even the book that is written, Pathway to God, trod by Saint Vamalinga, written by G.V. Pillai, and he was born in 1901, and the book is absolutely a magnificent book. And the writings of Valala and his inscription in English is absolutely magnificent. It's a beautiful work of art and with emotions. And through his book and for his writings, which he was born in 1901, he also recognized quite clearly that the formless God. So it's not something that is new. It's a very ancient understanding. So I think with people that are caught up in their plateau of their own spiritual progress, I think that for them themselves, if they change their physical habits just a little bit, if they keep chipping and chipping and chipping at these physical habits, then eventually they will find that they will get more answers. I understand this more so clearly because being I cannot speak Tamil, I cannot speak Tamil, and I cannot read Tamil, and a lot of my work that I understand is just not available for us in English, but because I've done these transitions myself, I'm getting the answers through Valala, through the processes anyway. Everyone has this opportunity to do this, and because, like I said, the meat eating system is going into heavy control within the next 15 years, and maybe well and truly within the next 5 years. So we personally need to connect strongly and understand that we need to help one another to do this transition, you know. And as we do this transition, the example is the only way that we can put across to other people. I've met a lot of people that are vegans and vegetarians and of different religious groups. But when I comes across to explain them to them the deathless body, they cannot conceive it. They still cannot conceive the reality of it. There is so much death consciousness within these people that they don't expect anything but what they expect to leave the body when they die. And this is it. Their expectation. They're living in that expectation to leave the body. And this is the difference to highlight that it's not a progress, it's a repetition. And while we're here in this condition on this planet as we are, we need to move towards a deathless body. We need to do the next transition as an existence here and on this planet. As Valhalla was in Perea, because he was in Perea, this shows that we can exist on this planet before we make this transition into the Jyoti without consuming food, you know, without sex, you know, without sleeping, you know, without fear. And if we can do this and keep merging with this, then we have something that others can recognize. For me personally, I also see that Valhalla has made this magnificent transition, but I personally haven't heard of anyone else doing it. And I mean, this is like quite a long time ago since he's done this, and I'm only just really connected to Valhalla's written word in the last 6 years. So there's been a lot of years between now and since he's done his transition, yet I haven't heard of anybody else that's actually done it as well. So I think this is something that has to be really defined, and that we should make this effort. Yeah, that's about all. If there's any questions, that's fine. But that's about all I can say, I think.
Donnie, thank you so much. You know, probably we can ask you more questions. You know, that way you can help us to understand them. So Donnie, you mentioned that you know, after Valhalla, you know, after his transformation into a deathless body, and nobody has ever achieved that, right? So, from your experience, you know, all these days of search, what is that you have understood? You know, what is the gap that we have? I'm sure, you know, many of us are not to that level, definitely. And but what do you think is the gap that we have, you know, to reach this deathless state? Valhalla had all the qualities to do that, but what is that we don't have, or what we lack?
I think the main factor for it is fear itself within ourselves. The pretty basic, and of course fear is the head title of it all. I think within ourselves we have to have more faith in our own direction. We are not sheep. Because people tend to look for someone else to give them the answers, yet the answers are already within themselves. This is something that people should conceive more, that people are working so long periods of time, and they've got families, and all they can get is a relay from someone else to tell them what has happened. This is what happened when they first wrote down the Vedic structure, because this is what happened back then, because it wasn't written down for such a long time. And then they wrote it down for this reason, the same reason that we have computers. But it's already inside of us. And that practice is also needed to be done with the physical efforts that we do, and consumption is one of the major factors. For example, I mean, because compassion is a main role, and I have to be pretty fair about this, because there's a lot of vegetarians out there, and there's a lot of vegetarian, you know, Tamil people. There's a lot of vegetarian. And I do not believe that they were always vegetarian as far as the history of humanity. We come from non-consumers. And then we were going to leaf and fruit. But the cows, the food from the cows is another subconscious effect on our mind. And because people are consuming it, they don't feel it. So we have to make this effort to actually change. For the children, the babies, the people that are unwell, sure, I can understand this. But in this era, in this period of time, there is so much availability that we do not have to consume this way, and we still get the same nutritions. And this also changes the whole concept of that individual. And while they're working or doing whatever they're doing, it gives them more time. It's like, for example, one who smokes a cigarette, you know, they smoke a cigarette once or twice a day, and it takes out, you know, half an hour or an hour of their day. It's the same thing when we consume the wrong foods, or the foods that are actually influencing our consciousness or our subconsciousness. It's the same thing. So if we're going to free ourselves a little bit more, we have to actually make an effort to change things within ourselves. So the fear factor comes down. You know, that fear factor. And we are not, if we want to separate ourselves from the animal consciousness, then we have to stop consuming the animal foods and be a part of it. We have to lift this up. And that way it'll lift us up in many other different ways. So yes, I think this is a prominent thing that should be considered strongly towards this direction. You know, we're in a different era in this period now. The cattle that even when Valala was there, they brought the cow around the streets, and they brought the calf and the dairy cow would give milk to the calf that was in front of it. So the energy that was coming out of that cow was quite high, you know, because it's giving milk to the calf. And people were drinking. In these Western cultural areas, even the same as in India, the dairy farmers and what they're doing to the cattle and what they're doing to, this is not compassion. And for us to endorse this industry is not compassion. It's logical reality. And so when we are consuming these foods, the animal is under stress. The stress goes through our body and it goes into our consciousness. It's just logical, you know, it's just like drinking alcohol. It'll affect us sooner or later. It may take a while before this detox off these type of this energy, but it is a reality.
Okay, so now we understand. Now we understood two things. One is about the fear factor, and second one is the food that we consume. So I think food we consume, probably, you know, we may be able to control a lot when compared to the fear. How do we become fearless? I mean, definitely, you know, me as a person, you know, I do have a lot of fear, you know, in life, you know, about the future, how it is going to be and so on, what is going to be happen to me and so forth. I understand, you know, you said you have to have faith on devotion on, you know, what you're thinking, let's say about Tarut Param Jori or Valala. But practically, how do we become fearless? You know, one or the other, something comes up and, you know, that occupies the mind, and definitely there is fear. I'm sure, you know, many of my friends would also be in the same state. So can you give us some thoughts about this?
One of the main connections that is connected to fear is sex itself. The thought, not the actual act, the thought is connected to fear. This is a strong fear connection, and it's still an act for the majority of people. When there is a sort of like a defensive action. When it's defensive, it actually projects the fear as well. So the sex and fear go hand in hand. So if sex is within our thoughts, I mean, it's not easy to be celibate and then say, I've been celibate for 3 years, but I still don't feel the ambrosia hitting the back of my tongue. Why isn't it not happening? Because the person is still thinking about it. It's still promoting this through their thoughts, and their energy is still going to the base of their body. And as long as that thoughts are still there, it will still promote the fear because they're not moving forward. And this is a yogic practice that we can all do as well. The population of this planet, the 7 billion people, the existence of people think in a relationship that the sex is a major factor that they have to live by, you know, especially in marriage, couples and so forth. This is wrong. This is endorsed. It's endorsed through the meat eating factor. It's not even endorsed through, it's an animal progress, you know, and it wasn't even existing in the golden period, you know, and it didn't even exist then. So it's been brought on. It's a physical thing. And for us to conquer this thoughts of sex alone will remove at least 50% or over 50% of the actions of fear. And the second one for the fear factor, this is where we have to learn to let go, because for me personally, you've got existence, and we are existing, we're all existing, and we always feel that we're responsible for our own existence. This existence, as human beings, feels like we are going to die, we are going to be sick, we are going to lose health or loved ones. This sort of fear we have to literally practice it, because to let go of this and put our whole responsibility of our own existence with God, with the Jyoti, if we have learned to let it go, has to be a practice. It can't be something that we can just say, let's do it. It's something that's got to be consciously practiced. And this is like any change of any habit, you know, of any habit that we have that we know we don't want, we have to actually attack it. And this is what has to be done. And when we attack it and remove it, we find that we can attack others and remove it. Because when we get to learn how to remove these habits of our thoughts, then we actually have more control over the processes of what we're going through to do a transition.
Great. That's a wonderful answer, Donny. So, Gopi, maybe we can ask the team if they have any questions, and then before we move on to the next program.
Yes, Prasanna, let me unmute everyone.
Yeah. So, friends, one request we have, when you are asking your questions, please be short and precise on questions, so that, you know, we can give the opportunity to the to our fellow Sanmargis. Also, please go on mute if you are not talking, so that there won't be any noise. Thank you.
Donny, this is Gopi.
Hi, Gopi.
Hello.
Nice to meet you.
Nice talking to you. Yeah, we are definitely enjoying, you know, your experience. The question I have is more towards the diet, you know, the food habits. How much have you conquered your food habits, and do you have any tips for us on how to, like, you know, slowly bring it down? I think initially you said, like, you know, one meal per day keeps you active and healthy. Yes. Do you have any tips for us on how to slowly bring it down to probably one meal or even less?
I think my first rule was, if you can't afford it, don't eat it. And if it's not good food, you know, and you can't afford it, don't eat anything else. Meaning go without. So what it is that if you need to eat a good meal, and you do not have the money to buy this food, but you have the money to buy the cheaper food, don't buy it. You know, this is where the first beginning starts, because the choice of eating good food or eating secondary food will not let one merge forward. If we're living on a farm with fresh fruit and veggies around us and so forth, and we picked it every day out of the sunshine and went and got the fruits off the trees, this doesn't happen anymore. So, and when it comes to going into supermarkets nowadays, the prices of good food is expensive. And to buy fresh vegetables, buy fruit, fresh food is expensive. And I find that because we are limited, you know, otherwise everyone would be eating perfect food if they had the money, and they don't. The best thing is, like I said, this is a first step. If you can't afford to eat proper good food, don't eat at all. This is the first initiation. And that way it will also change the amount of what we eat, because it actually starts defining what we're eating. Another thing is the action upon reading the ingredients of each item that we consume. A lot of people just don't do it. They just take it for granted, whatever the food is. They have to read the ingredients. And a lot of these ingredients are written so small and so hard to read. They're meant for that reason, because it's a simple reason. They don't want people to know what's in them. And these processed foods they're slowing our digestion down. And because it's slowing our digestion down, it's also affecting our consciousness and our subconsciousness. It removes that clarity. And that clarity is what we need. We need that clarity to give our answers. We need those insights. We need these insights. If we don't have these insights, then we are lost again. We're going back into the roles. The insights come without us expectation. And this is part of that clarity. Moving those processed foods is a major thing. Moving those foods that are secondary. This is the first process, another process. When we tend to go in this, the body has to actually do a transition. And the transition isn't instant. The mind says, I can do this, but the body is like a wave that's following behind the thought. So we have to wait until that wave catches up to our thought. It may take 2 weeks, it may take 6 months, but it still has to be tackled this way before it happens. And when the body adapts itself, then the next transition can be forward through it. And this goes into people being educated to what the correct foods are to be consumed. I mean, naturally, for anyone to go into a vegan mode, for instance, first it feels like a fast, because you're fasting off something, and there's a lot of education and habits that have to be changed. But one cannot change these habits unless they actually, like I said, consciously tackle them. You know, and when these are tackled, then we can actually, like I said, move on, start doing the transition, and we will find that every time we do it, there'll be another one in front of us, and another, and another. When I personally went vegan 12 years ago, and I went straight from vegetarian to raw vegan. So I just ate raw food. And I was so weak. I was like, I was amazing how weak I was. I just thought, I can't do this, you know, I can't go to work, I can't do. This is a detox. People have to understand this is a detox. I didn't mention before to Prasanna that I have got a Bachelor of Arts in Ayurvedic Naturopathic. I've got this from India. I've actually got this. I have studied this for quite a while as well. And my wife is as well. This detox process is much the same. How I like to put it in, and this is a blessing, okay? As you know, what Kaya Kalpa is, and Kaya Kalpa or Panchakarma, the process is to remove the toxins that are wedged in the flesh of our body. And these toxins have been put in there generally by fats that we consume. So when we consume certain toxins, the actual fats wedge it in there. And the only way to get it out again is through these processes of detox. And usually it has to be certain fats that actually draw it back out again for it to pass out of our body. I think for anybody that has anything to do with Panchakarma, or this would be a major step if they can take advantage to take a Panchakarma process to help them start initiating themselves into a better diet process. When these are done, then they can tackle the next step of going towards one meal. One meal is so easy to do. It's like you have a breakfast. You know, the breakfast of one day to the next isn't that hard. But generally should be able to do it when they're not working. I have to admit, it'd be hard to do it before working. Because when one needs to eat, we have to listen to our bodies. And the process of having a first meal, one meal a day, that means that the kirtan, the virtue kirtan of everyday meal has to be taken forward. The kirtan has to be taken forward so that we prepare our meal and we take as long as we can to prepare that meal. So we have a perfection. It's a work of art. And that work of art is what we consume. And that work of art we consume will not be consumed again until the next day. I went to the processes of going on the liquid fasting as well. So I was actually consuming raw food and then not drinking as well until the next day. So it was a total fast. And that also is not hard. It's just an adaptation of the body that will let it happen. It's definitely not hard. But the progress to get to that point is still a period of time. It's not like we can go, okay, the world's going to come to an end in year 2022 and I'm going to do this before that happens. It's virtually not possible. The yogic practice has to be started and let it fall into place so the body can follow through. It doesn't happen instantly. The detox process is too strong to do so. I actually promote this because why I'm promoting this time value, because like I said, I studied time. I studied the path of the progress through the biblical writings, the Jewish writings, which actually said, the Jewish writings said their God gave them the right to eat the flesh off a soul. This is what sacrifice is. And we've been living in this realm of power through this type of, for centuries. You know, even when Ram went to Lanka, you know, he went into the demons, and these demons are what we're living in amongst. We're living amongst these demons, you know, and this is the reality of the situation. Nothing's really changed. But what we do is have to understand that we do have to detox to move forward. We need to detox to go into this, into the insights that we need to move forward. If we haven't got the books, if we haven't got someone to tell us what to do, what have we got? All we've got is the answers that come from within. And this is the jati. This is the natural way, you know, is moving ourselves out of this toxic environment of radio waves and electric waves that are all affecting us all the time, and they're confusing our mental state, because people are getting sick and cancer all the time. And this is the only way that we can actually merge is to change what we're consuming, to help us work out our way to get out of this maze. How for us to move into, I mean, how many people that are Valhalla devotees that do not live in warm climate? I mean, this is what Valhalla said. Live in a warm climate. Keep your body warm. You know, but how many people aren't doing that? The reason is the same thing. It's the same thing because of what they're consuming and what they're doing is not letting them get the idea of how not to be doing it. You know, this is what they need. Consumption is a big part of it. And because of this era that we're in, because we're living in this period of time, we have the opportunity to take it on. We have the opportunity to change what we're eating and eat healthily. And this will give us the chance to change. This will give us a chance to move on.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Tony. That was a wonderful explanation.
You're welcome.
Hello. Anyone wants to ask any other questions? Okay. So, maybe I think...
This is Gopi again. Just one more question about the detox process that you were sharing. So did you experience this tiredness when you initially were transitioning from your regular diet to the raw food diet?
100%.
And you're saying like the tiredness is because of the body is undergoing the detox process?
Yeah, and also we give a karma effect too, because this is what affected me the last time I was in that process. Because I'm a vegan, which I've been like for a while, but to define the food as we're going through this, like the virtue of what is happening, there is a new karma that comes up. Everyone's different, of course, but if it breaks the pattern of that detoxing process, that is fine. But one must try to get back on the horse again, as I say. You know, one should just get back on it again and merge on. Like I said, virtually like giving up cigarettes. Oh yeah, I've stopped smoking cigarettes. No, I've been smoking so for 10 years, but you know, I want to have one more cigarette. But I stopped a month ago. I'll have a smoke now, and you've broken it. You know, oh, now I feel like another one. So it's the same sort of thing with the detox program. There are alternative suggestions with herbal health with the detox process. But like I said before, the Panchakarma, I don't know if there should be more available Panchakarma in the United States than what there is in Australia. I know the cost of Panchakarma in Tamil is very low, you know, compared to anywhere else. And they do a better job, of course. But that is a quick treatment to remove that detox, the toxins that we develop, and helps us to get onto that development. But I would not suggest anybody to do Panchakarma if they're going to go onto vegan, unless they do their own research on what they're going to consume beforehand. In other words, start when we consume food, you know, especially with Tamil people that consume vegetarian food, it's just look at the ingredients that you, the cooked food, and say, oh, look, I'm putting, you know, ghee in there. Well, why do we need to eat ghee? You know? Let's put something else, and let's put some virgin oil in there, you know, some olive oil or coconut oil, you know, whatever it is that helps, you know, to start moving those sorts of foods out. Don't put them in the cupboards. You know, if you've got a baby in there that may need the food, you know, that's different. But for an adult, we're not babies anymore, you know. We can actually live without these animal products. And this is just what I'm saying, just a slight example of what the transition is. It's just a part, but we can't make any transition unless we make those efforts. It's not just about talking about it. It's not just about praying. It's not just about saying, singing Arupam Jyoti all day. It's about what we physically do, the consciousness, the actual consciousness of what we're attacking. And yes, if we do consume, if you do go onto vegan food, there is a detox process, and you do get tired, and you do get these sort of things. It lasts, can last up to about 2 weeks, I'd imagine, but it does happen. But it goes, it moves, it just disappears, you know. Once you get tired, many people might even suffer from headaches, whatever it may be, due to their constitution, you know. I think it's worthwhile if they're really, depending on the age of the person and of the constitution of the person, I think that should be taken an advantage, because naturally different people have to go through different processes to merge, you know. And if they're working and they need this energy for working, then it's worthwhile finding out what constitution am I, you know. Am I Vata? You know, what is it, the constitution that I have? And at least you know what you're up against when you're coming forward into that. And also the progress of slowing down the detox program, because myself personally, the only detox I actually had was when I was going from, effects that I had was when I went from vegetarian to raw vegan, which is pretty extreme. I think that if one was to go from vegetarian into cooked vegan process, the odds are very, very low that they'll have any effects from a detox process. It'd be a slower one. They wouldn't even know. You know, it'd be slow. It'd be drawn out, and they wouldn't even notice it. But the detox is such an advantage. You know, especially with people who are sick, you know, the ones that are sick, they can actually go, adults can actually go right into a strong detox program. And when they get sick, that's a good sign that they are actually doing something about their health, because it's removing the toxic dangers that they've got inside them. And it's a good warning, you know. I've heard of people getting, you know, like tumors coming out of their body just because they've changed their diet. So this is just a good example of what detoxing can do to certain people, you know, and in their health. It, like I said, it's all down to the age and the condition and the constitution.
Thank you. Thank you, Donnie.
Thank you, Donnie.
I think that was another wonderful explanation from you. I think with this we can end the second part of our program. Thanks so much. Gopi, can you give a thank you note to Donnie?
Sure, yeah. So Donnie, yeah, again, thank you very much for sharing your experience. And I feel you're chosen by Valala as Australian ambassador to spread Sadmarga in your country. And also we can clearly see that our acquaintances are expanding geographically, like all over the world, which is a very good sign of universal brotherhood. In fact, in the beginning, I was about to read a passage from the book that you were referring on the blessing of announcement of Valala's coming to his mother, Chinnamayar. Yes. Just for others, like, you know, the book name is Pathway to Godtrod by Saint Ramalinga. It's written by, it's written by through G. Vanmeekanathan.
Yeah, he changed his name. If you look at the back of the book, he's a Pillai.
Okay. I just saw the in the beginning of the page, like, you know, it said Vanmeekanathan, and it is also in vallala.org if like anyone is interested to download and go through the book. It was published around 1974 or 76, I think.
Yeah,
but
it
yeah,
is
definitely
a beautiful book.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for that reference. I've heard very good thing about this book, particularly about this book.
Yeah, it is. You can feel the movement for, because actually it's been translated, but I think that because the author was so good at translating, and even he mm-hmm. apologized. I remember reading, he apologized that he could not perfect the emotions from Tamil into English. And he said, he apologized, this is the best I can do, because it can never translate that perfection.
That is very true, because like when we read that in Tamil, it's definitely like, you know, with translation, we cannot get that feeling, or the beauty of the words used by Vallala, you know, that
yeah.
definitely cannot be translated. But at least, you know, that would convey the meaning. And I think, he has translated more than 2000 songs, or maybe not 2000, but at least like a lot of songs, you know, in English, which may be, a good reference for others as well. And you also cover like very important points, like, you know, like diet, which plays a major role in not only the physical health but deeply in yogic health and evolution too. As Vallala says, like the major causes of aging, disease and death are food, sleep, sex and fear. So thank you for all your the information you shared on this topic. I'm very sure that everyone in this call would have enjoyed this talk, and will be benefited by the experience you shared. We would like to thank you on behalf of Vallala Universal Mission and all the participants who participated in this satsang. We pray for you, your family, relatives, friends and acquaintances, including everyone in the satsang. May our Pirinjavi Andavars and our Guru Vallala bestow thy grace on you and put you in the state of Sanmarga Suddha Sanmargam. Enlighten you with true knowledge and make you attain the true life and deathless body.
I thank you. Aruparam Jyoti, Tanitparam Karanai.
Aritparam Jyoti, Aritparam Jyoti, Tanitparam Karanai, Aritparam Jyoti.
Thank you very much, Johnny Paul. Thank you so much. Thanks for your time. So, we know, I think it is 1:30 for you, midnight. We appreciate speaking to us. And friends, just to let everyone know, Johnny really wants to have to connect to many of us, and you know, form a network of friends in Sanmargam, and you know, talk to them.
Yes,
so
yes,
please.
I'm not alone.
Okay. Thank you again. With that, we move on to the next part of the program. Today we also have Mr. Rajesh Kodandaraman from California, USA, who has joined us. And he is going to talk about Vallala's meaning of Tamil. Vallala, himself loved Tamil so much, and Rajesh has done some more research on that, and he is going to give us some knowledge about the meaning of Tamil. To give an introduction about Rajesh, Rajesh is from Viluppuram district in Tamil Nadu, from India. He has done his electrical electronics degree from Madras University, and then he did his MS in IIT Chennai. He worked as a project associate in IIT before moving to Bangalore to work in few companies such as Lucent Analog Devices and so on. He moved to US about 10 years ago, and he worked with many startups. Currently he is working in Broadcom in US. He has been doing a lot of research in Tamil and science for the past 5 to 6 years. He has presented several papers, and he has published them in some of the websites as well. He is married and has a daughter.
As I said, he's living in California. It is wonderful to have Rajesh to join us. Rajesh also helped us during the Valalar Fest, which was conducted last year. So he's a good, kind-hearted person and a lot of in-depth knowledge about Sanmargam. We are really grateful to have Rajesh with us today. Welcome, Rajesh. Welcome to the special event on Valalar's birthday.
Yeah. Thanks, Krishna. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, thank you, Krishna and Valalar Unison Mission. Need to talk on this topic. So let's start. Erupirin Jodi, Erupirin Jodi, Thanipirin Karunai, Erupirin Jodi. So, this topic of Valalar's meaning on Tamil is, first of all, why is this topic important? One is generally the origin of the word to etymology or what linguists say about that meaning of the word. So these are general ideas. But more than that, that's what we call in Tamil, gives much more than that. Because it's like a power-packed capsule which contains all the essential things of Sudarshan Markam, which is a path put forward by Valalar. It has all the principles of this immortal education, Saha Kalvi. When I say that, it holds all the, important things like Perubudesam, Jivakaranya Ulkam, and all this four disciplines like Indriya Karana Jiva and Anma Ulkam. To easily remember this, I call this as something like M2T. What does it give is like the first M stands for understanding the meaning, the true meaning. The next M is for it gives a map. It gives a map of human evolution. And then the third one, the T, is the details of tattva. This will be very handy when we conclude the talk to comprehend the whole thing. So when it comes to meaning, first we need to understand the true meaning of this word, because generally Tamil is known to be if you look up to the lexicon of University of Madras, it'll say Tamil means inimai. Inimai means, in English, it's a sweetness. Sweetness or melodiousness, things like that. Some linguists say the meaning is, they split the word Tamil into, root words like Tam plus Mori. Tam Mori became Tamari and then Tamil and so on like that. And there is also a popular word, Dravida, and then from that Dravid, that root, it became Dramida, and Tamil, and Tamil, they say. This is also another popular thing which we hear often. Unlike these interpretations, the explanation given by Valalar is very unique. It's unique. And it's rigorous. It adopts a metaphysical framework to explain that. When I say metaphysical framework, it uses the principle, what I call it as a self-referential principle of word compositionality. Basically, what does that mean? You take a word, and then you don't depend on the root words or anything like that to derive the meaning of the word. It refers to the composing alphabets itself to derive the meaning. What I mean by that is, you take the word and then that word is composed of some consonants and vowels. And each consonant and vowel has its own meaning. And it'll refer to those meanings and then compose the composite word meaning. That is, that kind of principle exists in Tamil, and this explanation is the best example of a self-referential principle of word compositionality. So, just to give a little bit about the historical background, how this happened, is this explanation was given by Valala somewhere around the 1850s in this Tiruvottiyur period. Because he lived in Tiruvottiyur near Chennai from 1835 to 1858. And it is well known that he used to visit the Tiruvottiyur temple a lot. During that period, the Shankaracharya of that period, Sivaja visited the Tiruvottiyur temple to inspect some of the Vedic palm leaves and so on. There's a Vedic there's a Adi Shankaracharya Sanadi in the Tiruvottiyur temple. So he visited there and then he was inspecting some of the Vedic texts. During which he got a doubt on the Rig Vedic sloga called this Egam Sat Bhagata Vadanti, which is basically saying that, you know, truth is one and then the sages call in different names, in many names. But he wanted to understand some deeper meaning of that. So he was looking for somebody to, he was looking to his assistant and asked him whether is there anybody who can, who is well versed in Vedanta, Vyakarana, and all these things, and who can explain the deeper meaning behind this. At that time, Valadar was coming to the temple with Tholur Velayuda Mudaliyar, and then Shankaracharya's assistant. Saw this and then he said to Shankaracharya that, Valadar is an expert in this kind of matters and he will be the right person to explain this. So a meeting was arranged and that's where he explained the meaning of this word, Tamil. Apparently, Valadar gave the explanation of the Sanskrit sloga, and then during the talk, it looks like Shankaracharya is happy about the explanation, and then he asserted that, you know, since the four Vedas are in Sanskrit, Sanskrit is the mother of all languages. And he asked the view to Valala about that, and Valala did not refute that. He just said, if Sanskrit is the mother of all languages, then Tamil is the father of all languages. And he didn't stop with that. He just wrote an explanation of this, and that is what got published later in a journal called Siddhanta Deepikai. So the explanation is kind of very crisp. It's only some three or four paragraphs. But, you know, it contains almost all the essential principles of Sudarshan Markam. So how does it encapsulate all these things? That's what is the subject matter of today. So, you see this one, some of the explanation what Valala gave, he adopts a metaphysical approach. Metaphysical approach means, the word is composed of different vowels and consonants, and as I said, each vowel and consonant has its own meaning. Where does this meaning come from? So they come from, you know, that is the basic about basic thing about Tamil. You know, the vowels and consonant structure, the alphabets, they form a compound table structure in Tamil. They call this Uyir Eluthu and Mey Eluthu, right? And then you combine them, to form the உயிர்மை எழுத்து. Basically, vowels and consonants join to form the vowel consonants. So in this one, he classifies the vowels as the, you know, sitkalai, and the consonants as the jada sitkalai. Sitkalai means basically art of consciousness, and jada sitkalai means it's the art of consciousness manifesting matter, right? So that's the difference between these. One is consciousness, other is equivalent to body. So consciousness, you know, activates the body to give life, and that's how all the letters are formed in Tamil. Okay. So to understand this better, right? I sent in the WhatsApp, in fact, one of my papers, and just to ask me to refer to one figure in the paper, which basically shows you know, the Tamil consonants in an inverted order. I'm not sure how many of you have that. It'll be very handy if you look at that, because it's like showing the letters ka to na ra in a kind of evolutionary order. Can you hear me, everybody?
Yes, we can hear you, Rajesh.
Okay. So if you see this, if you don't have that picture in front of you, but you can just visualize, thinking that, you know, starting from ka, you know, it is you can visualize ascending order of these consonants. Starting from ka, sa, da, ta, pa, like ascending up, and then from ma to yara, la, va, la is the final, the other set of sounds. So if you see here, this ka, sa, da, ta, pa, it's called the valinam. Valinam means they are called the hard consonants. Okay, and then above that, there is yarala vala. That is called, they are called semi-vowels. They are consonants, but they are called, according to linguistic science, they are the semi-vowels. Because, you know, ya and va is almost equal to e and u of the vowels. And then this pa and ma are the connecting between these two hard and the semi vowels, and while the hard consonants evolve from ka, sa, ta, ta, pa in this order, there is a, you know, effect of the sound right, that comes and joins with the hard consonants and make them as soft consonants. So nya nya na nama. So it becomes like that. So, ta evolves into nya, ta evolves into nya, ta evolves into na, ta evolves into again na. So this is how the, if you see the picture, it will be very clear. So this is what I call it as the involution-evolution framework, right? So the fundamental thing which you have to understand here is, you know, these letters are divided into two hemispheres. The one is called the lower hemisphere, other is called the higher hemisphere. What is that? So, in Perubhutesam, Balala says, you have to do this visaram, right? In that, there is two visaram. One is the Igaloka visaram, other is the Paraloka visaram. Right? The Igaloka visaram is all about this, you know, the worldly details, you know, whatever we see, sense, all these things. Paraloka visaram is beyond mind. Mind does not play a picture there. And they are connected by this, you know, in-between layer, the higher-lower hemisphere separation, which are denoted by the pa and ma. So this is how it relates to the Perubhutesam. Two hemispheres are there. And then what happens here is this holds all the key to the explanation. So ta is the first letter, first hard consonant of the hard consonant, first letter to start involving. What does it get involved here? If you take go to the definition of shvam, which the Vallalar gives a definition of shvam as sigaram, vagaram, and makaram, right? And sigaram is yellam ulladai vilanguvathu, vagaram is yellam vilanguvathai ulladu, and then makaram is virandinalum nirambiya inbam. So this definition is very key, right? It almost covers entire thing, the manifest, unmanifest, the whole universe, beyond universe, everything. Because he says, "Ellam ulladai vilangu," which means it's a truth. Truth contains everything, right? And then "Ellam vilanguvathai ulladu," that means you become aware of everything, right? That becomes consciousness. And then combined by these two, truth and consciousness, what you get is the bliss, the delight. This is what is Shivam's definition. So if you understand this, then there's no problem at all. First, we have to understand the definition of what is God. Then we can talk about God. So upfront, Vallalar gives a clear definition of this, what Shivam is. And not only that, he says it is Shuddha Shivam, right? When you say Shivam, in religious itself, the Shivam is there. But he says it's Shuddha Shivam, which means Shuddha, the word Shuddha is put to so that there's nothing beyond that. It's a final Shivam. Because we see Ayan, Mal, Rudran, all these are forms of Shiva only, Shivam only. Rudra, Maheshwara, Sadashiva, and then beyond that again Parashiva is there. So he says, if you reject all these things, what comes out finally is Shuddha Shivam. That means Shuddha Shivam contains everything. So this definition is very important. And that Shivam, maps to three walls, which is A, E, U. A is the truth. E is the consciousness. U is the delight. Truth, consciousness, bliss. This form Shivam. Right? This truth, consciousness, bliss involves from the higher hemisphere into the lower hemisphere and becomes the human being and all the lives. And where does it involve? That's the entry point, to the lower hemisphere. Is what is the ta, which Vallalar calls as tagaragasa. Tagaragasa means it is basically is the psychic space. What I call it as psychic space is basically the jiva. The anma, right? The anma is in a high state. It is very pure. That anma gets involved to become the jiva. So Vallalar calls it as, agam, agapuram, puram, purapuram. So agam is anma. When it get involved and comes into the puram through that, the higher lower separation space, it becomes jiva. Jivanai alindur. Once it becomes jiva, then you become, then you acquire other instruments like karana and indriyas. Then it becomes this puram and purapuram. Puram corresponds to karanas and then purapuram corresponds to indriyas. So this is how our body is formed. So basically the soul gets involved into the jiva, into the psychic space, which is called this tagaragasa. And then you acquire all this, mind, body, other instruments, and you finally become the human being. This is how manifestation happens. And that is what is signified by the letter ta. Ta is the, it is, the psychic space where you get involved. And then A is called the manifestation sound. you know, it's called Vyakta Akram. He even calls that you know, in the mantra Om, Om Pranava, Om is formed by Agaram, Ugaram and Magaram, right? So is called the Moolanga Pranava. Moolanga Pranava means it corresponds to the lowest center of the chakra. It corresponds to this root of physical consciousness. Put it in another way, corresponds to in two ways you should see. This I, E and U. In the Om, U, Im is, you know, corresponds to the Chakiram, waking state of consciousness. U corresponds to the dream state, Sopanam, and Im corresponds to Surati. And beyond that, there is a, you know, there is a state, that is what is the supramental state. That goes into the higher hemisphere. So this is how the Om is defined, Om mantra's meaning is defined. The same thing reflects in the higher hemisphere in a different way. A is the highest. How A is the lowest in the lower hemisphere. A is the highest in the higher hemisphere. A corresponds to truth. E corresponds to, you know, the consciousness. And then U corresponds to the bliss. So it is both ways reflected, both in the high and in the low. The higher hemisphere and the lower hemisphere. God exists basically in the Igalogam and in the Paralogam also. So this so we got the meaning of Ta. Ta basically is to make the God, like God himself, descends, gets involved, you know, gets separated from his true essence and then became the human being. He is still connected to the Arud Jyoti, but he is separated, that's all. So that is why we lose our true identity, we forget everything, and then, you know, we are in the misery. The reason for that is involution into the mind and the senses. So, once we are born in the earth, as human beings, you know, human beings start evolving. How does that evolution happen? The evolution happens through that Magaram. You know, the Ma, you know, is called Sangara Pranava. Sangara Pranava means it's like doing the Samara. Samara means basically dissolving. You know, Samara is basically used for fighting, you know, and you take the Puranas, all the things. You know, Rama goes in the Samara of Ravana. Purla says all these are tattvas. When you do Samara, basically you are basically disciplining them. How are you disciplining them? First thing is you have to discipline the senses. Lowest, that's the physical level. Right? And then you discipline the desires and so on, which is the life force. And then you discipline the mind. So that's how, you know, man also evolves from the raw physical beings to, you know, more passionate, vital beings. And then he becomes a mental man, more thinking man. If you see the evolution of our human beings also, if you see, initially people have been hunting and then more physically, you know, not using, you know, the emotions or mind. Then he became a more emotional man. And then now, you know, we are in a state of thinking more and more, math, science and so on. And then we become a mental man now. So that's how we are evolving. This is what is, you know, if you see that figure, you know, the Magaram, when you apply to this Ka, right? The Ka corresponds to, you know, the physical. Sa corresponds to the physical senses. You know, Tanmatras they call. And then the Ta corresponds to the vital life force. And Ka corresponds to the mind tattva. So if you apply this Ma to these sounds, right? Ka, if you apply to Ma, if you apply to Ka, it becomes Nya. You know, this is very clear. It will be very clear if you say, for example, take our mantra, Perum Karunai means Perum plus Karunai. Im plus Ka becomes Perum Karunai. So automatically the Nya comes over there. And then Perum Jyoti, if you take Perum plus Jyoti, Im plus Cha, it becomes Nya. So Perum Jyoti it becomes. Similarly, you know, Perun Talaivan, if you take Im plus Ta, it becomes Perun Talaivan. Similarly, for ta also you can say, for example, if you say Thiruvaru Meyumoli, if you say it plus na, it plus ma becomes Thiruvarun Meyumoli. The moon suri na, three curl na, you can say. Thiruvarun Meyumoli. So this is how, you know, the evolution, this is more in a, you know, grammatical way of seeing it, how the sounds, you know, morph or dissolves into higher and higher sounds. That's why, you know, this hard consonant kasatatapa becomes soft consonant by the application of ma, which is the sankara pranam. It basically disciplines the hard sounds and transforms them into soft sounds. And they keep evolving towards the higher hemisphere, which is towards the pa and ma. And when you reach pa and ma, that is where, that's a very important, that's a phase, which is basically, it's an entry point into the lower, into the higher hemisphere. And that is where, that's what I call it as, it's all established literature, the over mind space. All these terminologies I am adapting to Aurobindo, because he did the research almost independently without referring to Varalar's works, because he did only very few Tamil translations, like, you know, the first 10 couplets of Thirukkural, and then there are some Andal's hymns and so on. Probably because he was in touch with Bharatiyar when he was in Pondicherry, and like Varalar says, the first 10 couplets teach you the Saga Kalvi. And it is like a divine command. He just did translation of only the first 10 couplets. And then he did all the work independently. And if you refer to his work, it will exactly match to what Varalar is telling. It looks like as if, because Varalar says many times, Suddhasan Markam Vilangangalathil, in the Vivarangalam Velivarum, he will be saying. So basically, you can see all this terminology, you know, fits very well harmoniously with the Sri Aurobindo's terminology. So here, when you say higher lower separation, the hemisphere separation, that space is what is called, you know, agandakarachit. Valala used the term. Agandakarachit means it's basically cosmic consciousness. Gandam means, you know, contained, right? Agandam means it's like big, cosmos. Shit means consciousness. So, and that is the place, in this overmind plane is where the religious gods which we worship, many people worship, that is where they exist. And generally they called us, you know, the Pralayakala. We are called the Sakalar. Sakalar is the human beings. Pralaya color is are the overmental beings, overmind plane beings, and then above that is the Vijnana color. Vijnana color is supramental beings. Why it is called supramental? Because it's beyond mind, supra, the mind, and above all this, you know, overmind, and that space is called supramental. So supramental beings is what is the Vijnana color beings. So Vala says, if you keep disciplining like this, and then evolve. And that is where this four disciplines come. Indriya Ulkam, Karana Ulkam, Jiva Ulkam. Three disciplines. Anma Ulkam is yet to come. Okay? If you do this three disciplines, you evolve out of all the senses, mind, all the desires, Ragadigal, all the things will be dissolved. And you'll reach beyond the space of God. They are para beings. Para means it's a higher hemisphere. The Pralayagala, beyond the Pralaya color, you become the Vijnana color. So that is what that sound me means. So we saw ta, and then this me is what we are seeing now. So once the e corresponds to, you know, the almost the pure soul being, which is the starting of this Vijnana color. So once you reach this, you know, once the jiva evolves from the jiva state to the anma state, does it end there? No. That is where is the key difference of Suddhasan Margam with the other path. Because Advaita is there, Vishishta Advaita, everything is there. Everybody talks about liberation, Mukti. And when you reach Mukti state, Muttargal, right, that state, you reach this cosmic consciousness state. it almost reached the entry into the supramental domain, but now it doesn't end there. The mistake what others did was, you know, they reached that state, the liberated mukti state, and they left their body to decay. So, and they did not evolve, and they felt that that's a limitation of the philosophy. They felt, you know, that Brahman, and you know, that is the space you reach, and then you just dissolve into that space. They had no idea of transformation of the full body, senses, and mind, everything. Right? So this is about full transformation, which Prahlada alone opened, you know, and started this path. And that is where the second evolution starts. So far the evolution at the lower hemisphere is called evolution in ignorance. The evolution in higher hemisphere is called evolution in knowledge. You reach a state of anmukhanma, and there also still again there's more evolution to happen. And that evolution is called evolution in knowledge, and that is possible only by Arul. So that is where, you know, that's where this path differs from all the other paths. Because Arul, that evolution using the divine grace is very, very high state. And, you know, we can say that most 99% of them have not achieved it. Probably Manika Vasagar of that nature have talked about that, but not, you know, when they say Advaita, that is the last state, no, it doesn't end there. And that's why Valla says, Yettirandu, which is Agara Ugaram, right, which is Yettirandu Mudarpadi, that is Yelam Mudarpadi. And then beyond that, there is a Siddhi Nilesha in the Anubhavam is there, because that is the second evolution. And that is possible only with the divine grace, and that's where, you know, you get the experiences of Sitsabhai, Pursabhai, all that, and then the Nadanam. And evolve to the final state, which is the Ragaram. That is the 15th state. If you see the Tamil word consonant arrangement, Ragaram is the final consonant. People think Nagaram, it's not. Ragaram, 15th state, Ragaram is the final consonant. The remaining Lagara, Nagaram, they are all special consonants. And those special, the Adi, Nadu, Mudi, right? Those consonants comprehend the whole thing as Sudha Deham, Pranava Deham, and Jnana Deham. So that is how the whole 18 consonants are formed in Tamil. So here, we have covered Tha and then Ni, and the final thing is the Ragaram. The Ragaram again, Valla says, it occupying the 15th state, it has a lot of significance, he says. Because, that letter 15, you know, the number 15, he says it signifies, it since it is, you know, it is the final thing. See how beautifully it's composed, this word. They have taken one letter from the valinam, which is the hard consonant, ta, and then another letter, the root letter of this melinam, which is soft consonant, which is ma. Me, right? The combination becomes me. And then finally it ends in the Idainam, the third letter, the Yul from the Idainam. Why is it called Idainam? Because it connects, you know, it is the Idai between this hard, soft consonant and the vowels, right? That is why it is called Idainam. So this is a medial, right? And in that, Yul is the final state of supreme oneness. It is called, you know, Suddha Monadida Inbanbo. Suddha Monadida Inbanbo. If you see why it became, how this medial consonant, right, they are called Idayinam, how it became, you know, how it is mediating to the divine sounds, which are basically the vowels, is, you know, so far Kasata Dabha and Yanganama, they are all kind of hard and soft consonants. Moment, you know, it crosses at the ma, the ya becomes, is actually a smaller sound of yi, and that va becomes a smaller sound of wu, you know, and then these two are bridged by the two letters, ragaram and lagaram. It is, you know, it is very, it is not strange, you know, because you take the linguistic sciences and you see, they are properly called semi-vowels, even though it is, they are consonants, they are called semi-vowels, because they are almost close to the vowels, including this lagaram and ragaram and lagaram, right? And the ra is certainly very unique, you know, it's not there in many languages. Vallar says in 56 Sudesan Thavara Matra Ambedkar Desangalum illa endru he is saying. So according to that, you know, it is very unique and unique to our country and especially Tamil. This sound is there. A separate letter is assigned to them, and that signifies the highest state of reaching the you know, the divine experience through pure supreme oneness principle. That is very key. That's what in you know, it's a Perupadesam says, Anmane Urmai Padu, that Urmai is a fundamental for that. You know, that is what you reach at that Magaram and Yagaram. Once you come to that Anma state, you are almost one with everything. After that also there's evolution, and then the final state of the evolution is reaching the Agaram state. And that is where you become the pure supramental being. And Valala calls that as, you know, Suddha Vijnana Kalar. He didn't say just Vijnana Kalar, because that term is there even before Tirumular has talked about it. And he says Suddha Vijnana Kalar means this is the final state of Vijnana Kalar. Right? And this is how, so basically this tells you what is it, what is the map of evolution for human beings. You know, ancient times we have been very just physical being, then became higher in emotions, vital being, and then mental being. Right now, our current state is basically we are mental beings, vital plus emotional plus mental beings. We use our mind and emotions very much. And beyond that, we are stuck by the mind. And we are not able to even evolve into, you know, a proper psychic being, which is basically a jiva state, which itself is a very big, very, very big step. And then you have reach the real Atma. That is where, you know, the evolution from Yagaram to Yagaram, right? That is what is done by the Atma Ulkam. So all the four Ulkams are covered here. Atma Ulkam is the most difficult one. Even Jiva and Atma Ulkams are the most difficult ones, because Valla himself says it is possible only by divine grace. So other things, of course, we have gone through that. We are going through that almost every day, the Indriya Ulkam, Karna Ulkam, because mind and desires come into play over there. So there is a lot we can talk about it, just for limitation of time. I'll just conclude what Valla says. When he says, he summarizes the meaning of Tamil as, you know, we are involved beings. We are involved in ignorance. And we need to evolve from this ignorant state to a pure state. And that's what he says by Maruliyarkai Mala Irulai Paribhaga Saktiyal Arululiyaki. Which means Maruliyarkai is a you know, confused, delusional, ignorant state. Mala Irul is the, you know, inconscient or unconscient darkness that has to be transformed into the Arululi, which is the grace light. So how? Through the Paribhaga Sakti. It is the evolutionary force. Where is the evolutionary force coming into picture here? Which is the Magaram. Magaram comes in, you know, transforms step by step from ka, ta, 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 to, you know, nya, nya, ta, na. So that's how it evolves. The Paribhaga Sakti, it transforms into Arululi, and then the corresponding, you know, the yield is the Siddhatma Siddhkalasakti, which is a, you know, pure soul, the purified soul, Suddha Anma Anadu. When that experiences Arupirinjodi, which he calls it as Tagara Kagana Nadana Arupirinjodi. Tagara is, you know, again, the lower space, you know, mind, and then the Kagana is the golden, Kagana means gold, and Nadana is the dynamic dance of the God, the dynamic nature of the God. What the Vedantis all got stuck was, you know, in the static state of Brahman, which is Allah calls in one of the songs Nadayura Brahman, right? Nadayura Brahman is different. What he says here is a Nadana Arudbirinjul, which is dynamic nature of the God. That is a very big evolution. Once you reach that state, the, you know, the purified soul experiencing that state It's what is called through the principle of oneness, pure oneness. What he calls that a Suddha Monadeya Veyal. Suddha Monadeya Veyalal Anubhivikkum Iyarkai Unmaiye Tamil. So that experience of experiencing the God, that Arup Perinjyothi God, through pure oneness principle, that experience is called as Tamil. The truth is called Tamil. So this is the explanation he gave, and he concludes saying that so the Tamil language alone, you know, it gives the leads to the divine experience very easily. So he didn't say, you know, he didn't compare and say this is superior, that is, and so on. He says other languages like Sanskrit, every language has vowels and consonants. So certainly, you know, every language can lead to the divine, but he says Tamil language can lead to the divine very easily. That is how it concludes the explanation. So overall, just to summarize, you know, as I said before, that M square T, you know, we need to understand the meaning of Tamil, which is true meaning, which I've been talking now, as given by Vallalar. And then, you know, of course, it is a very useful map. You know, it tells where we are, what is our current state, where we have to go, and then, you know, what is our final state, right? And then it, you know, can delve into the details of the tattvas, what each mean and so on. But the important point I want to make here is, you know, people use the words very, you know, in a very loose way. For example, people use, you know, how much anava he has. You know, anava is a very, very high state. He cannot, just it is used, you know, anava, maya, kanvam, this malas, he has to be removed. People say, use the words anava and all very easily. Actually, what they really mean is ahankaram. At a mental level only we can talk. Anava is beyond the, you know, it's almost in the para state. It is almost close to the soul. Once you remove anava, it is almost you get to the pure soul state. Except that in between there is a tirodhai state is there. But because what I'm saying is, you know, the anavam is above the over mind, is almost at the over mind space level. So all these, you know, terminologies have to be used carefully, and we have a long way to go, and that is perfectly captured by this word Tamil. And if you map the corresponding tattvas, we will know where we are heading, how long we have to go. Because the Arul state, the pure Arul, the Puran Arul state is a very, very high state. That is, once you reach the soul state, then, you know, there's a further evolution there. And that is what I just want to highlight. I think if you have any questions, please go ahead and ask.
Rupi, we can have the question answers. Friends, if you have any questions, please go ahead and ask our friend Rajesh.
Hello, Rajesh. This is Gopi.
Yes. Yeah. Hi.
I'm just curious to know what was the inspiration behind or what led you to do this research on the word Tamil. I mean, like in Sanmarga world, like, you know, generally, like, everybody will be going after Vallalar's teachings and you know, the songs, Aritpa songs and other things, right? So what was the inspiration, like, you know, that made you to do this research and publish this paper?
Okay. Actually, the thing is, I really don't know. Because I studied in Tamil was one subject, but I studied only in English medium. I think so. People who studied in Tamil medium, they know more about it. And when I came across this explanation of Tamil in Urainadai, and I used to ask people, and they also didn't know that such a meaning exists like this. And I asked many people also to, you know, kind of do more work or translate some of Vallalar's work, who are capable of that, and they were not interested too, because they got involved in more Saiv Siddhanam, stuff like that. What really motivated is you know, T.R. Tulasiram's works. He's a disciple of Sri Aurobindo's mother, and he wrote a book on nuclear physics. And you know, it is amazing to see that how a disciple from a different so-called different path, actually according to me, essentially they are the same, but he took all the efforts to do the translation and take show some of the atomic insights in the Thiruvarupa songs. He by himself is not a Tamil as such. He's a language. His mother tongue is not Tamil, but he did a lot of hard work to do elaborate research on Valalar. And I felt that has to continue. There is a lot more basics we have to put in Tamil, understanding the language to properly interpret Thiruvarupa songs. Yes, as I said before, you know, the using the terms easily, like Anavamaya, Kanmam, people, you know, just associate Anavam to, you know, very ordinary Ahankaram. Both means ego only, but that Anavam state is much higher. So all this understanding will come only if we, do a proper research of his works. And for that, we have to understand the Tamil, like what Valalar says. So Valalar has put the foundation of, you know, how to understand Tamil. If we follow that, I think that we'll get a lot more insight.
Thanks, Rajesh. Thank you.
Hello, Rajesh. Ram.
Hi, Ram.
Yeah, hello. So we have Tahara Meignana, right? Thiruman refers in Akaval, Taharam as Meignana. And then we have Tamil. There also we have Amrutam plus Taharam. That is one question. So what is the correlation? And the second question is, like, we have Sagala color, Pralaya color, Vinyana color, right?
Yeah.
So those entities are not referred in 96 Tattvas or Saiva Siddhanta. I mean, it is referred in Saiva Siddhanta, but not in 96 entities. So how this, you know, Pralaya color could be, just I'm trying to map, you know, how it could be related to koshas. You know, we have Anamaya kosha, Pranamaya kosha, Anandamaya kosha, right? So whether Anandamaya kosha, the blissful state, and Tahara Vijnanam and Vijnana color, are they related? Because when I look, Vijnana color is not Anandamaya kosha, although it might look like, but just I want to hear from you, what is your comprehension on this. And coming back to the first question with respect to Taharam, so it is Taharam is out of 18 consonants, it is in the middle, right? So it's not exactly in the middle. So is the position somehow related to Ragaram? It's making it unique. So because When we can call, I used to argue, like, why don't we call Tamil as Kamil, because Ka is the first consonant, right?
So that
could be a reason why it's not called. And moreover, the way in which we pronounce each and every letters and words in Tamil after it got its square form, because earlier it has, you know, a circular form. In 7th century, it become Malayalam. And in 4th century, it become it got a scriptural form, it become Telugu, then 5th century Kannada, something like that. They have one school of thought. So I feel like, just speaking Tamil will increase our longevity. Because it is not only just the gentleness, sweetness and sweetness in it, but there is more to the conservation of energy when we utter each and every letter in Tamil. So that could be, because I haven't, I didn't use the digital signal processing or something to process the word when we utter how it resonates, how much frequency. We usually generate up to 165 hertz when we talk. As a female, we generate 265 hertz. I mean, between the range of 150. So just pull out your thoughts. Thanks.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of content there. Let me start with the last one.
Sure.
For example, I think talking Tamil, yeah, it is good. But I think...
Yeah, Rajesh, one request. Can you be a little louder?
Very close to the phone. Can you hear
Thanks,
me better
yeah.
now? Okay. So talking in Tamil is good, but energy conservation, all these things, I think they are for the later stage. Because it doesn't matter like whether you talk Telugu or Malayalam. There are aspirated sounds and so on which can affect in terms of, you know, in terms of conservation of energy, it may be a little less efficient and so on. But what is more important takeaway here is the framework, it emphasizes we need to follow the four disciplines. And that is inherently clear in the, you know, Tamil Tattva framework itself, the Tamil word itself, if you understand the meaning of it. So the final physical transformation comes later. That is, in fact, the final stage. Before that, what needs to be, you know, done is the mental transformation and the vital transformation. The desires and, you know, the mind, the Karna Ulka, and leave the Jiva Ulka. You know, the Karna Ulka is very important. And then along with the Indriya Ulka. So only then we can, you know, this is like comparing, you know, the classical physics to the quantum mechanics. You know, it is higher, quantum mechanics is much higher, but we need to, you know, at a lower level, you know, classical physics is only an approximation. So we can worry about the subtle energies much later. The more important thing is you know, the three ulkas. And that is what is we can take away from, you know, from this framework, Tamil framework. So that is one thing. Along on the same lines, you talk about the different kosas, right? Again, this is all very widely, you know, people talk about, you know, kosa and map left and right. But if you see broadly, this Annamaya kosa, Pranamaya kosa, and the Manomaya kosa, they correspond to, you know, the physical being, vital being, and the Manomaya kosa is the mental being. So that those are clear. When it comes to Vijnanamaya kosa and then the Anandamaya kosa, they again goes in the supramental domain. But then again, people use it, you know, very loosely and, you know, map it to lower things. So that's why I don't get into, you know, the terminologies formed by others, because they, I feel, not many have the real experience. It's better to, you know, follow the terminology formed by Valadar, because that is very clear. You asked a valid question, where are these pralaya colors? So the pralaya colors form the space, you know, and if you see the Tattva Logas, the Suddha Mayai and then Suddha Asuddha Mayai, in between them, they lie there lie the over mental being, over mind plane, and that is what we call as pralaya color. And then above that, once you cross the, you know, once you reach the Anma Sit Shakti level, above that, you know, there's a para, you know, Icha Shakti, Jnana Shakti, Kriya Shakti, and then finally reaches the Sit Shakti. That is the supramental domain. So that is about you know, the different koshas and where this pralaya colors exist. And of course, we are the sagalas, and the Suddha Vijnana colors form the, you know, once you reach the Anmasit Shakti and once you start evolving there, and that is where the Vijnana colors come into play. So I think, is there any other question which I didn't answer?
Thank you, Rajesh. I think considering the time that we have, maybe we can conclude our sessions. I know, Rajesh, you know, you have some other
time. Yeah, I also have time to go for me.
Thank you so much, Rajesh. Gopi, do you want to give a thank you note for Rajesh quickly?
Yes, sure, Prasanna. Hello, Rajesh. So not many of the youngsters do this type of, you know, research on the topic Tamil, and we are truly blessed to hear this, you know, content from you and your research. Like you know, the difference, like, you know, you gave an example of like the Anavam and Ahangaram, the words were kind of misused. You know, definitely the language which is close to divinity, you know, those are like very, very good information, you know, that everyone should remember and propagate, so everyone, especially not the non-Tamilians, will know the importance of Tamil and the rich literature we have, especially like, you know, Thiruvaridpa. So your service was truly appreciated. Thank you very much again for your speech. We hope everyone enjoyed this talks. And again, on behalf of Vallalar Universal Mission, we thank you. We pray for you, your family, relatives, friends, and acquaintances, including everyone here. May our Perunjodhi Andavar and our Guru Vallalar bestow their grace on you and put you in the state of Samarasa Siddha Sanmargam, enlighten you with true knowledge and make you attain the true life and deathless body. Arit Perunjodhi, Tani Perum Karane Arit Perunjodhi. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Gopi. It's a pleasure.
Thank you very much. I want to highlight one more thing. Rajesh is not only researching about Tamil, he is also serving our Bay Area Tamil community by being a teacher in the Tamil school. We truly appreciate that, Rajesh.
Thank you very much, Prasanna.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Ish, and we'll go move on to the next part, which is the Siddha Sanmarga petition reading. Raji Amma will read the petition now. Hello?
Aruperunjodhi, Taniperun Karunai Aruperunjodhi. Thanks a lot for the wonderful speeches today, Miss Maria and Mr. Dhoni Paul and Mr. Rajesh Kodandraman. I'm going to read Satyanana petition. Uttiranyana Siddhipuram allies of Uttiranyana Siddhipuram Siddhambaram allies of and by the Thiruvarul and the names that are surrounded as things can do special names of Parvathipuram allies Vadalur of and the names that were given as nicknames to refer to of having those names pronounced as starring Godpadi in that the natural revealing of fullness is a pure Sivanubhava Jnana Sabai in that wearing the natural truth filled God form, the natural bliss filled Sivananda, one's holy dance performing just for all the life forces to get the joy showered, everything can do unique. Head of the God Aruperunjodhi. O the God, O the Highness to your holy community, I'm submitting my Samarasa Sutta Sanmarka Sangha Satya petition. In this world, six sense superlative body that I got off, I am, for this body often and often is suffered by such as deathness, disease, aging, fear and the pain. And to cure all of this suffering, make this body itself to become Nitya body so that in whichever times, in whatever places, in any manner and in any way without any obstacles, I should be able to live by getting the blissful Siddhi, great life, is what the true, strong and huge effort of my desire. In this effort of my desire, like all the sufferings be cured and making this body itself an Nitya body so that forever undestroyable, blissful, great Siddhi life could be attained and what way it could be possible, like when I started thinking about that time, no other way one should be getting this and all can do God's freedom is the only way and could achieve this and I came to know as it was announced by Thiruvarul. After that, what way we could get God's freedom, like when I started thinking that time, mind and I of greed, body freedom, bhoga freedom and jiva freedom and all these three things should be eliminated in that time only. You can get that I came to know as it was announced by the Highness Thiruvarul. Hence holding that are being by being my freedom, such as body freedom, bhoga freedom, and jiva freedom, and all surrendered to the Highness Thiruvarul as his full freedom. Given up that time, this body, the jivan, and bhoga things, and all are only given by full freedom, God of great mercy, and other than that, it's not of our freedom that we hold. So this truth I came to know as it was revealed by Thiruvarul. Hereinafter, from this body, and from this jivan, and from this bhoga thing, by the evidence of Thiruvarul, none of these freedoms would be appeared as many freedoms. The Highness hoped that Thiruvarul freedom to be and blessed to cure the suffering of this deathness, disease, aging, fear, and the pain, and making this body itself Nitya body, and I should be able to live forever undestroyable and forever blissful great Siddhi life. Likewise, all the forces who got this body should also be revealed their way as it was revealed to me, and also make them a privileged people to get this and should be able to live like me. Your Highness, for your great graceful rule, welcome, welcome, Aruparanjodi, Aruparanjodi, Taniparan Karanai Aruparanjodi. Let all living beings live blissfully. Thanks a lot. Aruparanjodi, Aruparanjodi, Taniparan Karanai Aruparanjodi.
Thank you, Rajyama. Now we will have the Jodi song. I request any one of you to sing the Jodi song now. Anybody who wants to sing a Jodi song? Rajyama, you want to sing?
Yes, sir. No problem. Jodi, jodi, jodi suyam. Jodi, jodi, jodi param. Jodi, jodi, jodi arul. Jodi, jodi, jodi sivam. Vama jodi, soma jodi, vana jodi, jnana jodi, marga jodi, yoga jodi, vata jodi, naga jodi, yema jodi, vyoma jodi, Yer jodi vir jodi, yega jodi yega jodi, yega jodi yega jodi, adi nidi vedane, adal nidi padane, vadi jnana bodane. Valve, valve, nadane. Aruparanjodi, Aruparanjodi, Taniparan Karanai, Aruparanjodi. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Rajyamma. Dear friends, thank you very much. Thanks for joining. We know there were several technical problems in the conference. We truly appreciate for staying long, both in the pre-conference as well as the Facebook page, Facebook Live. Thank you so much. Thanks again. Aruparam Jodi, Aruparam Jodi, Taniparam Karunai, Aruparam Jodi. Vali enai thooki vaitha karadalangal, Vali ellam valla manimandram, Vali nadam, Vali Arujodi, Vali nadarayan, Vali Sivanyana vali. Vali en andavan, Vali engonarul, Vaimai endrum vali. Emman pugal vali, en nadan malar padangal vali. Vali mei sutta sanmarga perinari manbu kondu vali. இவ்வையமும் வானமும் மற்றவும் வாழியவே. அருட்பெரும் ஜோதி, அருட்பெரும் ஜோதி, தனிப்பெரும் கருணை, அருட்பெரும் ஜோதி. எல்லா உயிர்களும் இன்புற்று வாழ்க. கொல்லாவிரதம் குவடயம் எல்லாம் ஓங்குக. வல்லல் மலரடி வாழ்க வாழ்க. சத்குருநாதா, சத்குருநாதா, சன்மார்க்க சங்கம் தலைக்க அருள் தாத்தா, திருச்சிற்றம்பலம். நன்றி. தேங்க்யூ. தேங்க்ஸ் எவ்ரி ஒன். தேங்க்யூ வெரி மச்.
தேங்க்யூ ஆல். பை பை.